The sons of thunder came to our Lord seeking glory and honor. It is the same today. For the minds of men these days are filled with material things. Salaries and benefits, proximity to family and friends, and worst of all, the faceless numbers and statistics of attendance and membership. They are filled with visions of glory, of being both confessional and successful, of being orthodox and winsome, of being praised by God and by men. They vainly imagine success, where Luther, Paul, and Jesus failed. What we desire and what we so often pretend is missionary zeal is really hard to distinguish from what is desired by Donald Trump or Bill Gates. Capitalistic growth, the accumulation of wealth and power, the creation of a following. But we are far worse than they. Our desire feigns decency. We wrap it up in shades of piety while erecting monuments to ourselves and our imagination and preparing dazzling speeches for the media. We make our plans, hatch our strategies, pick the best of hymns. We think that we can make it work. You cannot make it work. You can scratch the itchy ears of men. You can find a place in this world. You can be successful, but you cannot make the gospel work. The kingdom of God is not a nut for you to crack. It does not follow the principles of man-made science, nor lend itself to organizational charts, visions, and plans. Repent. The kingdom of God is in the things despised by men. Meekness, poverty, suffering, weakness, and in dying. You cannot make it work because it succeeds by failing. It knows victory only through defeat. It is a vineyard of grace. Laborers are paid for work that they did not perform. Murdering thieves are declared to be sons. Shepherds do not fleece or slaughter the sheep as in the ways of all earthly shepherds, but they lay themselves down into the manger for food. God shows favor by making his adopted sons miserable losers and suffering servants. The apostles built no cathedrals. They began no magazines, founded no synods. The Lord treats you as he did them, as he treated his only begotten. His will is done. Take the cup of the Father's wrath, be baptized into his baptism, be falsely accused, unjustly condemned, mocked and tortured unto death. Die to this living death, and thereby pass through and live in real and abundant life. That is the way that Jesus is followed. Not by making disciples, as though we had something to do with that. He is followed by being a disciple, by confessing and being absolved, by hearing and eating his word, by being killed and brought again to life. Rejoice in this. It is the way of the cross. It is the way of life. The suffering that God inflicts, he bestows upon you always in perfect mercy. He does it so that you would not be so vain or foolish as to think this is a good call, a good place, or good enough that I can make it work. And only God is good. You do not belong here or there or anywhere on this fallen, corrupted planet. And that is why there is so much trouble, discord, conflict, and difficulty. What is good is to be with God, and soon you will be. For where you belong, where you truly belong, is in the throng of praise that surrounds the Lamb once slain but alive. And that transcends all geography. And that Lamb has made a promise to be with you always. That's what counts and what matters wherever you are. Your labors will cease. Your frustration will end. He is coming back and will bring you home. In the meantime, drink the cup he drinks. Proclaim the death he died. Abide in his baptism. Rest in his wounds and confess his name. Believe your own preaching. For Jesus has paid your ransom. He has prepared a place for you. He loves you. So bring on the heartache, the pain, and the sorrow, the cup and the baptism. It matters not. Jesus died and rose for you. And that is what matters. That is what endures. And that is glory and honor that James and John and we did not know enough to ask, but which he has given in perfect grace. In Jesus' name.